بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 15th of September in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 177th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the section in which I'm mentioning the very important statement made by Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh. And to reiterate, he said, it is essential to know that Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu anhu, and his family members have been lied upon, especially Ja'far as-Sadiq, in a manner which none from amongst the companions have been lied upon. This is in Majmu Fatawa 13-244. So Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said that the family of the Prophet have been lied upon, but none more so than Ja'far as-Sadiq, Zain al-Imam Hussein's grandson. And I mentioned some of the lies which are from their books, which clearly indicate that these have been erroneously attributed to these noble souls. So to mention a few other reports from their works indicating the filthy lies. With regards to the greatest of men after the prophets and messengers, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the dogs and vultures of this ummah have the following to say. So in Al-Jazairi, in his Al-Anwar An-Nu'maniyah 1-53, it states, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to pray behind Rasulullah, may blessings be upon him and his family, with an idol hanging around his neck, prostrating to it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may blessings be upon him and his family, with an idol hanging around his neck, prostrating to it. So again, imagine, this is the greatest of men after the prophets, and they're saying he's got a ta'weez, an idol, and he was really prostrating to this. Thus they accuse this majestic man of secretly worshipping idols. Their blasphemy does not end here. For Al-Bahrani, in his Al-Burhan 1-500, he mentions, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to break his fast intentionally during the daytime in Ramadan, drink intoxicants, and make a mockery of Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to break his fast intentionally during the daytime in Ramadan, drink intoxicants, and satirize Rasulullah. So this is in their works. So think about that. Can you believe these statements that they make? Now look how ironic the statements are. Abu Bakr was Hanif. Even before Islam, he never worshipped idols. He never took intoxicants. Even before Islam. And these shaitans are saying that he would take them, break the fast of Ramadan, drink intoxicants, and mock Rasulullah. Thus, these degenerates clearly believe that this most majestic of men was amongst the vilest hypocrites. It is also related in Tafsir Al-Qumi 1-290 that the title of As-Siddiq was given to him by Rasulullah, but in reference to the fact he believed in his heart to be a sorcerer. So they say Abu Bakr is Siddiq because Rasulullah called him Siddiq. But Rasulullah, his intention was, he's a sorcerer. I believe him to be a sorcerer. Astaghfirullah. Al-Majlisi in his Mir'a al-Uqul 3-429-430 mentions Abu Bakr had no iman, he was a hypocrite. Thus, if the greatest of the companions is not spared their verbal diarrhea, then who thereafter can be saved from it? Think about that. If somebody goes, they've targeted Muawiyah. So leave Sayyidina Muawiyah to one side. They've targeted the best. And they didn't just give him a slight, you know, mudslink. They didn't say, no, he was a decent man, but he had a few. They go straight for the jugular. Munafiq, sorcerer, idol worshipper, Astaghfirullah. So now, these are the lies. Let us now turn to some authentic statements from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. So think about that. We know he's a noble man. He's the descendant of Rasulullah. What did he definitely say? Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer 6-158, Tahdib al-Qamal 5-8, Salim ibn Abu Hafsa, rahmatullah alayh, he said, I asked Abu Ja'far and his son Ja'far about Abu Bakr and Umar. They said, O Salim, rahmatullah alayh, have allegiance for them and disassociate yourself from their enemy. For indeed they were two imams of guidance. Then Ja'far rahmatullah alayh said, O Salim, does a man ever revile his grandfather? Abu Bakr is my grandfather. I will thus not attain the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment if I do not have allegiance for them and disassociate myself from their enemy. So let's look at this. So this is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his famous work, The Work on the Nobles, Sir Alam al-Nubala and Tahdib al-Kabar. So Abu Ja'far and Ja'far, Abu Ja'far is Imam Bakr, Muhammad al-Bakr. Muhammad al-Bakr and his son Ja'far al-Sadiq, they were asked about the two sheikhs, Abu Bakr and Umar. Both of them said, respect and love them. Anybody who hates them, cut yourself off, because they were two imams of guidance. Imam Ja'far then said, and this is very important, does a man ever speak ill of his grandfather? Abu Bakr is my grandfather. Then he said, I will not get the shafa'ah of Rasulullah if I don't love and venerate. Haf ibn Ghayyaf, he said, rahmatullah alayh, I heard Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh, say, I do not hope for anything from the intercession of Ali, except I likewise hope for the same thing from the intercession of Abu Bakr, because he gave birth to me twice. This is recorded by Tahdib al-Qamal 5-82. So let's explain this. So Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, how was Ali related to him? So Ali radiallahu anhu's son was Hussein. Hussein radiallahu anhu's son was Zain al-Abidin. Zain al-Abidin's son was Muhammad al-Bakr. Muhammad al-Bakr's son was Ja'far al-Sadiq. So simply put, Ja'far al-Sadiq, he was the grandson of Zain al-Abidin. And Zain al-Abidin was the grandson of Ali. So he's a direct son of Ali. So Imam Ja'far said, whatever I hope from my venerable grandfather Ali, I hope for the same thing from my other grandfather Abu Bakr, but twice. So now we need to explain, how's Abu Bakr his grandfather? So Hafiz Zahabi, he explained, rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer 6-255, Tahdib al-Qamal 8-82. Hafiz Zahabi, he said, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahmatullah alayh's mother was Farwa, who was the daughter of Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. So simply put, Abu Bakr was the great-great-grandfather of Ja'far al-Sadiq. So let's go through Abu Bakr. How do we get to Ja'far al-Sadiq? So Abu Bakr's son was Muhammad radiallahu anhu. Muhammad's son was Qasim. Qasim's daughter was Farwa. Farwa was the mother of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Have you understood? So simply put, Abu Bakr was the great-great-grandfather of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. That's one. Hafiz Zahabi then said, her mother, Farwa's mother, is Asma bint Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr. So simply put, both Farwa's mother, Asma, and father Qasim were Abu Bakr's grandson and granddaughter. Have you understood this? Right? So Farwa, who is the great, great granddaughter, granddaughter of Abu Bakr, her mother is Asma bint Abdul Rahman. So both Farwa's mother, Asma, and father, Qasim, they were both Abu Bakr's grandson and granddaughter. Did you understand that? Both ways. For this reason, Hafiz Imam Jafar al-Sadiq would say, Abu Bakr Siddiq gave birth to me twice. Meaning that my lineage goes back to him through two channels. I'm his grandson twice over. Now, why is that important to highlight? Because what did he say? He goes, why would I speak ill of my grandfather? Leaving aside everything else. Imagine when he goes to your grandfather's. You think, this little brother is my grandfather. I don't want to speak ill about him. So when they are attacking Abu Bakr, do these wretches really love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Imagine if you were alive in Imam Jafar al-Sadiq's lifetime and you're saying Abu Bakr worshipped idols. He was a sorcerer. What do you think Imam Jafar is going to say? Are you talking about my great-great-grandfather? Another report. This is in Tahdib al-Kamal 5-82. Abdul Jabbar ibn al-Abbas al-Hamdani rahmatullah alayhi said, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq came to us when we were about to depart from Medina. And he said to us when he was giving his advice, indeed you are, inshallah, from the righteous people of your land. Those convey to them from me that whoever claims that I am an imam who is infallible and obedience to me is obligatory, then I am free of him. And whoever claims that I have disassociated myself from Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, I am also free from him. Tell this to your people. So let's look at this. So Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, he stayed in Medina. That was his home. City of the Prophet, his grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people came to pay their respects. And he then said to some of them, look how interesting. The first thing he said was, inshallah, you are righteous. So they're going back to Iraq. You are righteous. Meaning you're not amongst the dogs and vultures. Then he said to them, you must convey to the people of Iraq this from me. Whoever claims I am an imam who is infallible, obedience to me is obligatory, I've got nothing to do with them. Make sure you pass that message on. Look how amazing. Who's he talking to? The Rawafid. He goes, I'm not infallible. Audhu billah, I'm greater than the prophets. Whoever believes that, tell them I've got nothing to do with them. Then he said, and whoever claims that I have broken away from Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhum, tell them I am also free from them. I have nothing to do with those people. So look at these beautiful reports, right? Authentic reports, you get the correct understanding. Jakanodi, whatever you want. In conclusion, Yahya ibn Salim relays from Imam Jafar al-Sadiq rahmatullah alayh in Tahdib al-Kamal 5-82. Indeed, the evil ones from the people of Iraq, they claim we revile Abu Bakr and Umar, whilst they are my fathers. Indeed, the evil ones from the people of Iraq claim that we, the family of the Prophet, revile Abu Bakr and Umar, but they are our fathers. Meaning we have never spoken ill of the two sheikhs. They're lying. And then who are they blaming? The people of Iraq. Look how interesting. Because nobody in Medina says this, nobody in Sham is there. People have invented this. So to reiterate, it is no wonder then that Sayyidina Ali warned about himself. Do not lie about me. For whoever lies about me shall enter Jahannam. Do not lie about me. For whoever lies about me shall enter Jahannam. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 1, page 150. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 332 of the New English Translation. Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi relates similar. So Ali summed it up, because people are going to lie about me. If you do, you're reserving your seat in the fire. So when he mentioned himself, he was talking about his children as well. And like I mentioned, the one that they've targeted the most, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq. Whole Muslim, Jafari fiqh. Right? Now this doesn't mean he didn't have knowledge. Of course he had immense knowledge. He was a master of the heart. Imam Abu Hanifa said famously, rahmatullah alayh, if I had not spent 2 years with Imam Jafar, I would have been lost. So immense place. Obviously he's an imam. But if somebody says, is there a mazhab ascribed to him? No. That was the honor given to the four imams. there were other Mazhabs, but they died out. And Allah blessed these four. So where is his knowledge then? Have we lost Imam Jafar's knowledge? No, we haven't. It's to do with the heart. So when you go to the Tasawwuf, you will notice many of the reports from the great Imam. It's not that we don't love and venerate him, it's that you have lied about him. You're saying he's greater than the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So note here, I had to explain, these are lies. And don't forget, he was the great grandson of Abu Bakr. So when people start having a go at Abu Bakr, that's his son. No, look, and look how beautiful it is, Abu Bakr has a son of Rasulullah. Imam Jafar goes, one of my grandfathers is a Rasulullah, one of my grandfathers is Abu Bakr. Allah Ta'ala honored Abu Bakr. He joined him with his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So moving on. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was comforting Sayyidina Umar just prior to his tragic passing. So Sayyidina Umar, like I mentioned many times, radiyallahu anhu, his khilafat was around 11 years. And Ali was always with him. Never left him for a single day. Right to the end. In a hadith in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 4, page 438, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 461 of the New English Translation, Abu Matar, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates, he heard Ali radiyallahu anhu say, when Umar radiyallahu anhu was stabbed by Abu Lu'lu, I went to him and I found him weeping. I asked, what makes you weep, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? Umar radiyallahu anhu replied, it is the news from the heavens that makes me weep. I do not know whether I shall be taken to paradise or to hell. It's from the report. So Umar was stabbed by that shaitan, the fire worship, just before Fajr. And the report here says, Ali came to him quickly. And Umar was weeping. So that's strange. Why is he weeping? So when he asked him, why are you weeping, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He goes, I don't know whether I'm going to go to paradise or hell. So now a person goes, you know, what do you mean he doesn't know? So the report continues. I said to him, Ali said, I said to him, rejoice with the glad tidings of paradise. For more times than I can count, I have heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two leaders of the middle-aged people of paradise shall be Abu Bakr and Umar. What excellent men they both are. Umar thereupon asked, will you testify to my entering paradise, O Ali? I responded, I certainly will. And then to further reassure Sayyidina Umar of this reality, Ali turned to his son, Hassan, and said, O Hassan, you also testify for your father that Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Umar shall be amongst the inhabitants of paradise. So look how beautiful. Umar is fearful. People of taqwa fear. He goes, I don't know whether I'm going to go to paradise. So Ali radiyallahu anhu, look what he said. He goes, I've lost count. Just once from Ali's blessed ears and mouth is enough. He says, I have lost count. How many times I heard the Holy Prophet say these words. The two leaders of the middle-aged people of paradise are Abu Bakr and Umar. What excellent men they both are. So Umar, when he heard this from Ali, he goes, will you testify to that on my behalf on the Day of Judgment? And Ali didn't even hesitate, because I certainly will. So look how he's comforting Umar. But then just to make him further feel happiness, he turns to the grandson of Rasulullah, his son, because you also testify that this man is a man of paradise. So now, which hadith was Ali referring to? Yes, two. I'll give you the report. Anas radiyallahu anhu relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in favor of Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhu, Hadani sayyida uhuli ahlil jannati min al awwalina wal akhirina illa nabiyina wal mursaleen. These two are the chiefs of the elderly people of paradise amongst the first and the last, apart from the prophets and messengers. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3664 to 5, is Hassan, Ibn Majah, number 95 to 100, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 602, Tabarani in his Awsat, number 1348, 6873. Tabarani in his Sahih, number 976, or 2-173. Bazar in his Musnad, 2-132. Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, number 533, or 1-405. Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, number 6904. Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, number 1419, or 2-617. Mishkad, volume 4, number 29, in the chapter on Abu Bakr, radiyallahu. So let's look at this. So Rasulullah, he spoke about Abu Bakr and Umar. What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadhani sayyida quhuli ahli al-jannah. These two are the sayyids of the elderly people of paradise. Min al-awwaleen wal-akhirin. From amongst the first and the last. Illa al-nabiyyin wal-mursaleen. Apart from the prophets and messengers. Meaning, if you get all the entire ummah, all the people, the elderly people who will enter paradise from all the ummah, the two sheikhs will take them all into paradise. They are under their standard, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except the prophets and messengers. They don't, they're higher than them. So is this a sahih hadith? Yes. Similarly, proving this, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu alayhi, that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people in the higher levels, i.e. in paradise, will be seen by those lower than them as if they were looking at a star rising on the horizon. Abu Bakr and Umar will be amongst them. What a fine people they truly are. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Mishkat and Udus. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 2026. So what now is the Prophet saying? The people in paradise, the lower ranks, will see the higher people of paradise like stars. So the scholars say there's stars in paradise. It's like you get stars now in the sky. But the stars in paradise aren't suns. The stars in this universe are suns. Every star you see is a sun. In paradise, that is another level of paradise. So look how beautiful. You're thinking, oh, these stars are for me. They're beautifying my paradise. You can say, okay, yes, you're right. The other thing which is interesting, there's no night in paradise. So how are you seeing stars during the day? Because paradise is paradise. If I said to you, middle of the day, look, all these beautiful stars, you think I'm mad. So paradise, this proves, it's beyond this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, Abu Bakr and Umar will be amongst them. The highest levels. What a fine people they truly are. So what now? The leaders entering, and the elders entering behind them at the highest levels of paradise. So when Ali radiallahu anhu said to Umar on his deathbed, I've lost count. How many times Rasulullah said the two leaders of the middle-aged people of paradise are Abu Bakr and Umar. What excellent men they both are. This proves the Prophet said it so many times. If it was a one-off, Ali would not have said, I've lost count. So why was Rasulullah saying this so many times? Because he knew the shaitans are coming. Right? So he made it clear. He goes, these are great people. Allah Ta'ala is honored above others. Subhanallah, similar reassurances were given to the venerable Khalif from other companions, such as Abdullah ibn Abbas. So the great Ibn Abbas came as well. He goes, I will testify, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that you are a man of paradise. Umar radiallahu, with his phenomenal strength now fading, thereupon summoned six of the blessed ten from his paradise in their lifetimes by our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to decide amongst themselves to elect the new khalif. Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the ten from his paradise, despite being amongst them, was purposely left out, for he was both the cousin and brother-in-law of Umar. Thus, Amir al-Mu'mineen thought this would be an injustice on his part to summon. Look at the amazing justice of Umar radiallahu. So how many of the ten promised paradise were still alive when Umar was fatally wounded? Seven. Who already passed away? Abu Bakr, Abu Ubaidah. Sorry, there was eight. Because Umar is not passed away, right? So Abu Bakr, Abu Ubaidah. So there's eight of the ten promised paradise. One is about to leave, Umar. So there's seven. One of the seven was Sa'id ibn Zayd. Why did Umar say, No, only these six are to come together. Only these six. Wait, what happened to Saeed? Why have you left Saeed ibn Zayd out? This is his justice. The first reason is he was the cousin of Umar. He was his cousin. He didn't want anybody to think, look, I want nothing. This is not a blood thing. I don't want my cousin to be. And he's married his sister. So if he left him in, the people would have thought, well, we want another Umar. Get Saeed in. So Umar left him away. He goes, no, he's not part of this consultation. Subhanallah, it is thus also most telling and interesting to note that Sayyidina Umar had, however, not left out Ali, who was his father-in-law. Showing how much veneration he had for this most noble man. Look how we're sleeping, right? Somebody goes to you, hang on a minute. Why has he left Saeed ibn Zayd out? Because he married his sister. So he left his brother-in-law out, yeah? Why didn't he leave his father-in-law out? What happened to his justice? Then you have to respond, you say, he couldn't leave Ali out. And he's too great to be left out. So look at the praise in between the lines, almost leaving these signs. Bole bale no, left from night. Yeah, he left six. Did he leave six? MashaAllah. What happened to Saeed? Who Saeed? Doesn't know what we're talking about. Then a person throws another atom bomb. Well, he's left one of his in-laws out. Why has he left another in-law in? That's injustice. Because Ali is Ali. How can you leave Ali out of the equation? But there was initially one reservation which the Amir al-Mu'mineen had over his illustrious father-in-law. So now think about this. Umar radiallahu anhu knew Ali was fit for the job. He knew that. But there was one thing that was troubling Umar. What was that? Zubair ibn Bakar in his Muwaffaqiyat, Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 229, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 752-3 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Umar radiallahu anhu once asked me about Ali ibn Abu Talib, and he said, I am fully aware that if that companion of yours becomes the Khalif, he will be abstinent. However, I fear he should not be carried away by conceit. I, due to his unending virtues and excellences. So Umar radiallahu anhu, what did he say to Ibn Abbas? He goes, your cousin. He goes, definitely, if he became the Khalif, he want nothing to do with this world. But I fear that he might have something in his heart. Now, what was he referring to? Who has got the most virtues out of all the Sahaba? Ali. That's what he was worried about. Umar goes, I think that might affect him. So Ibn Abbas, he responded, what are you saying, Amir al-Mu'mineen? You are well aware of the endless virtues of our companion. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has never changed or spoiled after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never offended him as long as he stayed with him. So Ibn Abbas defended Ali. He goes, how could you even think this about our companion? Because he never once hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar thereupon asked, then what about Abu Jahl's daughter that he wanted to marry whilst Fatima was still his wife? Because didn't that upset Rasulullah? So Umar, look how he knew people. And you have to go back, and it's true. Ali was married to Fatima, and he was thinking of marrying Abu Jahl's wife. So Umar goes, didn't that upset the Prophet? So Ibn Abbas, he then explained, concerning the decisive lapse Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 115, فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. But he forgot, and we did not find him to be determined, i.e. to disobey our command. Similarly, our companion Ali was not determined to offend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The idea was merely a thought that no person is capable of driving out of his mind. In addition, people with deep understanding and profound knowledge of the deen of Allah are also prone to make mistakes. However, they retract and repent as soon as they are alerted. Umar radiallahu thereupon said in praise, a person will be sorely mistaken if he thinks he will ever be able to dive and reach the depths of knowledge and wisdom with people like you. Meaning you are right. So look at how Umar was looking at earlier. And he was, you know, explaining this to Ibn Abbas. He goes, he'd be a great khalif, but I fear something. And then Ibn Abbas defended him. He says, he's never heard Rasulullah. He says, what about Abu Jahl's daughter? And look at what Ibn Abbas did. He not only answered it, he gave it tafsir. And this tafsir is very valuable. Why? Because fruitcakes, throughout every era, they say Adam committed a sin. Think about that. Because it's clear. He ate from the tree. Because it's clear. It's not clear. He ate from the tree. That doesn't mean he committed a sin. Then they start arguing with you. Well, it's Quran, isn't it, brother? Right? And he goes, yeah. Do you know better than Ibn Abbas? Right? And he goes, what did Ibn Abbas say? Concerning the decisive lapse. He didn't even call it a sin. Allah Ta'ala says, what does Allah Ta'ala say about what he did? Fanasiya, he forgot. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا, and we did not find him to be determined. So Allah Ta'ala says two things about the incident. He goes, Adam did eat from the forbidden tree, but he forgot. And he never intended to disobey. He was not determined to disobey me. So he gave it tafsir. In other words, that's our understanding. No sin. No such thing as original sin. Go and join the Christians if you believe that. They believe he committed a sin and we all stand. Do you believe that? We believe he's ma'asum. He's a prophet. But we have to explain, he ate from the tree. He forgot and he was never at all once determined to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that took place for a reason. Then Ibn Abbas went to Ali. Look at how beautiful. He goes, he is the same. He goes, he was not determined to offend Rasulullah. That was not his intention. It was just something that went through his mind and heart. And then he said, even the people of the deepest knowledge can make mistakes. But they retract it. Didn't he retract it? And Umar was so happy. He didn't just say, oh, you know, like you get, you know, people with pride, oh, I'm not happy with that, right? He was so happy. He goes, nobody can get the better of you. Because you are such a diver, you dive so deep. He goes, we don't know where you're getting this knowledge from. So what do you learn? You learn that Umar was clearly thinking of Ali. But there were certain two things that was nagging Umar radiallahu anhu, and he wanted clarification over this. But of course, he held him with great esteem. So all I mentioned today was basically wrapping up on the section with regards to the Rawafid and their filthy lies against the two sheikhs. And I want to mention a bit, there's so much others they mention, but we get the idea of how much they venerate the sheikhs. And then I mentioned authentic statements from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Very important to mention what he really said. And the reality was he loved them too much. And then I'm mentioning now the end of Sayyidina Umar's exalted life and his thinking who is best to succeed him. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شهد عليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وحسن الحق وحسن الصبر